The Relationship Rut, Confronting Laziness in Marriage, episode 141. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Hello, Awaken You listeners, and welcome to another week. We are on the last of a series where I have been talking about different behaviors that if you participate in them, they will eventually destroy your marriage, push you so far apart that you don't even feel like you're married, except for legally. But what, of course, I do here on Awaken You in Your Marriage is I create awareness around these behaviors, and I help you. First, awareness is the first step to change, right? Okay, so we see what this is doing to our marriage. How can we change? So over the past 4 weeks, I've talked about selfishness, pride, control, and resentment. Today, I will talk about laziness. And remember that I also have episodes in the archives where I talk about Gottman's Four Horsemen. If you don't know what they are, you can just search the Four Horsemen in my podcast and a bunch of different episodes will come up. The Four Horsemen are contempt, criticism, stonewalling, and defensiveness. Gottman calls them the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse because these four things, if all four of them are in your marriage, you're headed to the end, to the apocalypse of your marriage. I will tell you that in my marriage, I had all four horsemen. And we have turned that horse trail around and we are heading towards the sunrise and the beautiful sunsets, and we are not headed towards the apocalypse. Thank you very much. I will share in the show notes all of those different episodes. We have 48, which is about contempt, 46, which is about criticism, 52 is about stonewalling, and I've actually done two episodes on defensiveness. In episode 51, I talk about how it hurts your marriage, and in episode 126, I talk about how to break defensiveness down. Let's talk about laziness in our marriage, what it looks like, how it comes about, and how to turn things around. To begin with, I looked up laziness, so I'm going to share that with you. Laziness is really having or showing an unwillingness to work, which as I've been contemplating this episode, I think that's what comes up for me the most is the unwillingness to do something different in your relationship, the unwillingness to want to work on your relationship. I don't know. This kind of just like hits a point, a raw point in me, because like we would never do that in our career. We would never just show up somewhat contributing, but not really seeking to make it exciting, really wanting to court our business, like going to your desk every day or wherever it is that you go to do your thing and being excited about it. While some people might be okay with a marriage that they know when they go home, it will be there, their partner will be there. And I am not talking about that. I am talking about those of us, myself included, who want something more than a lackluster relationship. I want to keep courting each other. I want to fall in love every day. And some days I do not show up as lovable for sure, but my husband still loves me, right? And while I think that there can be a general lack of motivation or a lack of desire to get to the work of doing something different, I do believe that there is something else going on under the slothful attitude. So I want to first dig into what might be causing the laziness, in particular in your marriage. But before I get into that, I just really want to say, I think that our society is to blame for some of this because we really have been under this influence that this magical falling in love period means that we just love each other. We can, you know, put the ring on each other's hands, say those vows, and that's it. And that is not it. That is only the beginning of climbing the mountain to an amazing connected marriage. And this is where I'm going to take it off-road a second to share a little bit about what I am writing about for our next episode. I have been exploring, I have been very curious about my femininity and how I want that to be, knowing that I have very much showed up in life from the masculine. From that, like, doing to be acceptable, doing things, proving myself, working crazy, crazy, crazy to prove. I could get in a whole discussion about that, but that is for next week. But with that, as I've been curious and exploring that, a course pleasantly popped in front of me. So I am in the beginning stages of this course of exploring my femininity and stepping into it powerfully. I really think that this is a real part of our journey where us women, we are showing up so powerfully, like trying to change things in our marriage and really becoming the masculine in our relationship. And this is not our fault. This is a society thing, but we're not allowing our man to step into that masculine role, or they're just not. And so we're doing it. And so that's what we're going to talk about next week. And how that ties in to this podcast is, I think that when we talk about what might be causing the laziness, I think that I'm not going to blame us women for this because this is a ancestral influence that has happened over years and years and years where the feminine has been squashed by the masculine. But I think that because we're so stepping into that masculine role, we're not letting our men and we're not encouraging our men to fully embody their masculine role. And so in that sense, we're allowing our partner to maybe be a little lazy and kind of us, I know it's a lot of it is a not knowing, but us really utilizing that masculine to suppress our feminine. And is that lazy? I don't really think that it's lazy. I think that it's just what we've kind of come to do. So it does tie into the laziness a little bit. If you can kind of listen to that and figure it out, maybe I'll continue to tie it in as we talk. But part of it could be you just don't know what to do when you walk in the door, when you're in the relationship. And this laziness, okay, we could totally look at the laziness around the house, your partner not contributing to all that the household duties entail. And I'm not really going to get into that, though that is part of what I'm talking about. I'm also talking about, you know, not knowing what to do in your marriage. And that's where like the masculine feminine part, I think, comes into play. So tune in next week. I'm pretty sure it will publish next week. maybe all of this will marry itself really well. But when it comes to in the house, let's say, and this could be a conversation with your partner, it could be that you yourself grew up in a home where everything was taken care of. Like you had this controlling leader in the house that took care of all of the things. All you had to do was show up and enjoy. You weren't taught how to cook. You weren't taught how to clean. You weren't taught how to do the laundry. You weren't taught how to maintain a bank account. And you get married, and this probably won't bed well in your marriage situation unless you marry the person that is just like your parent that they do all the things for you. Is that good or is that bad? I don't know. The only reason it would be bad is if one person is harboring resentment about all that they do and how the other one isn't doing, right? It's also possible that every time you've tried to pitch in and help, you've been told you're not doing things correctly. Check out the control episode a few weeks back. And this will cause your partner to withdraw. I mean, not always. If you have a powerful partner, they'll be like, oh, well, I'm doing it my way. Is my way good enough? Is it damaging in any way? But it could cause your partner to not be willing to help out or to shy away from being the initiator because they don't want to be told that they're doing it wrong, that they're losing, right? Now, when it comes to the relationship itself, if you aren't constantly coming up with ways to spice things up, then you're going to get bored and in a rut. Now, maybe that sounds like a lot of work to you. Relationships are a lot of work if you want to have fun. Like the idea of coming up with ideas to spice things up, things that you enjoy to do. I mean, that's what you do with your friends. I mean, that's what I do with my friends. I'm not always like, okay, what are we going to do? I come up with ideas like, this sounds like so much fun. Do you want to join me? If you're not doing that, you're going to get in a rut. And if you aren't used to coming up with ideas to keep the relationship alive, then you might fall into the lazy practice of not caring and waiting for your partner to come up with something. Now, there are so many things out there. There are date decks. You can get a date deck and pull a card out and plan it. It's like, let's do this. It could be as simple as going to the very first restaurant that you took your spouse to or that they took you to. If that restaurant's not open, you can, and there's a different restaurant in that same building, you can go there. Or you can go to something similar and let them know, I'm remaking our very first date. And then, like, for my husband, he could actually go to Bed Bath and Beyond, which honestly makes me cringe because I don't like products from there. I'm sorry. Anybody that does love Bed Bath and Beyond, go for it. I'm not into artificial fragrance. But he rode his motorcycle to our first date, lunch date. He had leather jacket on and jeans, and he had gone to the mall and went to Bed Bath & Beyond and brought that little Bed Bath & Beyond bag with him to the date. So, honey, if you're listening, that would be just like a fun remake that we could do. Hint, hint. So what this requires is for you to step into a more active role, maybe setting up time to discuss household chores if it's about, you know, laziness in the home, and discussing a plan that feels fair for the two of you and making the commitment to work on getting better at follow through while asking a controlling partner to either let you do it your way or they can do that task themselves and you'll do a different one, right? And when it comes to dating and keeping the marriage alive, there are simple things you can do to liven up the relationship. Google jokes. And whether you want clean jokes or dirty jokes, share them with your partner. You can Google fun date ideas, adventures. check your local city's community page to see what events might be coming up, and ask your partner out on a date. Date them. I think that too, one partner might tend to be more of the planner when it comes to things to do. If you are that person, that's fine. But if you don't want your partner to come up with ideas, I guess that's totally fine too. But why? Why wouldn't you want them to? And when they do, how do you react to them? Do you tell them, no, that sounds awful? Or do you try to change it on them? Let them lead their idea. Another thing that could be happening is you're just plain old burnt out or tired. So reevaluate your schedule. If this is a chronic thing, like this is happening over and over and over, you're not getting enough sleep or you're burnt out from work, then you need to reevaluate what is ultimately important. Do you want to look back on your life and be proud of how you overextended yourself at work at the expense of your marriage? Think about that. I thought about that. I was overworking in my business to avoid my marriage. I went to the end of my life and I was like, that is not what I want. So how is this affecting your marriage? And what does your spouse think of this? If you're just plain old tired, come up with a sleep hygiene routine and get yourself on a good schedule. Another reason for laziness could be that, you know, that plain old tired could be coming because you're not taking care of your physical and mental well-being, which of course can lead you to being lethargic, unmotivated, stuck in cycles of not being able to make a decision, procrastinating, telling your spouse that you want to take a day trip to the zoo and never planning it, continually overthinking what that would look like. What day should we do it? What if it rains on that day? And procrastinating. Don't promise something if you're not going to follow through. Plan it, put it on the calendar, or find some dates and say, hey, honey, this is what I want to do. I have some dates in mind. Will one of these work? And if not, can we find a date that works, right? Taking one step towards something different. Maybe eliminating one sugary food out of your diet or adding some movement might make a big difference in your motivation. Getting outside and getting some fresh air could clear up your confusion and your decisiveness. Are emotions keeping you stuck? Write down three things that you could work on and pick one to start. Start planning that date with your wife or your husband. Is the task too big? Maybe it's a vacation to this big dream vacation, and you keep putting walls in front of taking steps towards making that real. Is the task too big? It maybe it is. So break it down into small chunks and get started. Just start looking at different ideas in the area that you're thinking of. What might you want to do? Start brainstorming. Brainstorm the different things that you want to do on your vacations. And just start eating away at it, one small bite at a time. Depression could also be something that is causing laziness. Is the relationship depressing you? What is going on for you? What would feel really good to you? Could you have a conversation with your spouse sharing how you're feeling right now and what you're struggling with? Or do you not want to share that with your partner for fear of what they're going to think? This right here, all of these really, but this one right here is a really good reason to book a courageous love conversation, because I would be your safe place. I can listen to you with no judgment. I can ask you questions that will help you answer what is going on for you and help you find solutions to start moving forward. And then another thing that could be going on is you're just seeking pleasure at your own expense, right? You're seeking pleasure through alcohol, through scrolling your phone, zoning out in front of the screen, eating. All of these are avoidance tactics. What are you avoiding? What emotion is under that urge to put off what you want to get done, the thing you want to do with your partner? What is stopping you from just saying, honey, can I have 10 minutes to talk to you about something I'd love to do with you? On the outside, what does laziness look like? I want to make sure that we can decipher between laziness and rest. Because if you are anything like me, I grew up being told I was lazy. In that, like if I was ever sitting around at home, maybe reading a book or doing something I wanted to be doing, and then I was told I was being lazy, I should be doing something different, like being outside. For me, I got conditioned to just move, and not sit still. And if I was sitting still, I needed to make sure I was doing something while I was sitting still. So I think it's important to really understand that sitting, pausing, being present, relaxing doesn't mean laziness, all right? So I think that it's essential to decipher the difference between the two. Another courageous love conversation opportunity right there. It could look like not helping out with obvious tasks that need to get done around the house. Could be dishes, vacuuming, laundry, picking up, you know, just like walking over all of the dog toys that are all over the floor and not picking them up, taking out the trash. And it could look different for you, this picking up around the house. It could look different for you than it looks like for your partner. So remember that your partner might be judging you as lazy. That doesn't mean necessarily that you're lazy. If you have a plan for when you're going to put the trash away or whatever it is that you're responsible for, it doesn't mean you have to do that on your partner's schedule. But it does mean that you have to prove that you are going to do it, right? It could be not acknowledging special days like birthdays and anniversaries. Everyone, I want you to know, whether you grew up in a family that didn't acknowledge birthdays and anniversaries and special days or not, it's time to learn how to make them special. Make your partner special. Make their day of entering into this world special. Make the day that you said I do officially special. Please. Even if it's like a morning cuddle, a morning, you know, like, hey, I love the past blank, blank, blank years that we've had together. Happy anniversary, honey. Right? At least that. I think it needs a little more than that. But laziness is not wanting to try new things, stuck in old routines. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that love the same old. Humans love routine, but excitement and change comes from trying new things. It doesn't mean you have to jump out of planes. It doesn't mean you have to do dangerous things. I mean, if you want to do that, great. I think those things are fun, but creating memories by trying out new things is so fun. It's what makes life exciting. How about this one? Expects sex, but wants you to be the initiator. That's laziness. Or it could be rarely interested in sex. And that could be laziness. There could be a whole lot under that as well. Another great reason to book a courageous love conversation. Not nurturing your marriage. I think that's what we've been talking about in this whole episode. It's important. Not taking care of yourself or caring how you look for your spouse. take care of yourself. And there's a whole lot. Like if you're not taking care of yourself and you're not presenting yourself well to your partner, and this does not mean that you need to get made up and every time you're with your partner, does not mean that at all. You can be wearing sweats and a t-shirt, but not all the time, right? Not following through with your promises. We talked about that. If you want to do something with your partner and you say that you're going to do it, follow through and do that. That creates trust in your marriage. And if you can't follow through, address it. Say, hey, honey, you know what? I just realized I said that I would create a date, a day trip to the zoo, and I have not done that. I am so sorry. I didn't mean to dismiss you. I just totally spaced it. And we all do this, right? But address it. Don't keep burying it. Lack of communication, right? Waiting until the last minute to share things. That's what laziness can look like on the outside. Just like that, oh, I realized I never planned that date. Lack of communication is burying it and not talking about it. Open communication and sharing is not lazy. And then avoiding the relationship by pouring into kids, work, hobbies, and friends. That's lazy. And of course, that's avoidance, and there's something under that avoidance, right? Another courageous love conversation opportunity. So remember, to start looking at laziness, I want you to look from the inside out. Our natural tendency is going to be to see all the ways our partner is being lazy. When you notice that, again, just like I have said, bring it back to yourself. Ask yourself how you've gotten lazy in your marriage and what might be causing your laziness. And of course, book a courageous love conversation to get under what is going on. Maybe it's built up resentment. Maybe you have spent so much time taking care of others that you've gotten lazy thinking about what you want to do for yourself in the relationship. Do you want to create some fun? Do you want to start dating your partner again? Do you want more interesting conversations? What about sex? In this episode, I could really talk about the steps to overcoming laziness in your marriage, but I think I've sprinkled that throughout the podcast. Again, it is really that awareness. And then it is really wanting to change. Like, oh gosh, I really have put dating on the bench. You know, maybe dating looked like nights out to dinner. I know for us, one thing I loved about COVID is I don't love going out to dinner a lot. It allowed us to be able to have more time together, and it allowed me to be more creative with dates, right? They don't need to be a dinner at a restaurant. And then when you do have a dinner at a restaurant, it's that much more special. But that's me. What do you want to do? Maybe you want a dinner out every week. Maybe you have a special place that you'd like to go to every week. That's totally fine. But how can you spice it up a little bit? And then it is just really examining why you're not doing some of these things. Why am I not participating in helping my partner? Why am I expecting them to do all the things? Why am I not acknowledging my partner's birthday? Why am I not taking care of myself? It's really digging into those. And then if this has been a recurring thing that you just can't seem to change, hire a professional. Get some help so that you can feel better about how you're showing up in the relationship, and that will lead you to become the one to really create a no regrets marriage. And that is especially fun. So that's what I have for you this week, my friends. I hope this has helped you maybe self-confront. Take a look at what's going on inside and what you want to be different. I love you all so much. Have an amazing week. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life. We study it and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.